chilly Sabbath morning. And we are thankful for the way the Lord loves us. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, we will now look at this book and see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme for the year is I serve. I serve. And our theme for this first quarter is shaped to serve. What is it? Shaped to serve. I want to take a look today at a familiar passage of Scripture, Luke 10, 30 through 37. And we are familiar with this as the story of the Good Samaritan. I've entitled the message simply, Busy. Busy. I think we have it now after almost a month of presentations from the pastors. The Christian life is built on how many legs? Talk to me. How many legs? Four legs. Four legs. Let's see if you can remember them. What's the first one? Way to go. Let's say them. Prayer, Bible study, worship, Christian service. Let's try it again. Prayer, Bible study, worship, and Christian service. And we have said that faithful Christian service is just as important as the other three. In fact, we have said that Christian service should be the natural result of a life of prayer, Bible study, and worship. What do you say? If you're engaged truly and fruitfully in the first three, then the fourth ought to take place. Is that all right? Now, in our first service, we have learned that the first assignment to serve was given by Christ to himself. He committed himself to this planet to serve mankind as Savior, the one to release us from sin. Revelation 13:8 is the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. We read that. We studied that. And we found that in this assignment that Jesus gave to himself, he was born of a woman, born to be treated as a criminal, born to be poor, born to be powerless except as he leaned on the Father. It was a complete commitment. He did not cheat. No sleight of hand. He became, and we cannot explain it, there are debates about it, we can't explain it, Dr. Lachey, he became completely human for our sakes. Somebody ought to say amen. That's what he did. Service. He became a servant. In the past two early services, Pastor Taylor has built on this, and he's taught us, first of all, that the reason we serve is simply because we're thankful, we're full of gratitude for what God has done for us. And then in the sermon last Sabbath morning, Pastor Taylor taught us that service is connected to our death. Death to self, death to our own life's goals, and maybe real life death to life. If you serve God, listen to me, if you serve God, there's probably a good chance you'll die in the process. Literally. 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 And then last week in the second service, and I'm bringing you up to date now in the first service, we went to Luke, the 10th chapter. Go there. Luke 10. And we pointed out the fact that Luke 10 has three sections, three distinct sections. The first section, we said, is where the Lord sends out the 70. He sends out the 70 to do ministry. We presented these 70 in contrast to the 12 sent out in Matthew 10. Now, you've got to get this, First Church. In Matthew 10, God sends out the 12 disciples to the house of Israel only. In Luke 10, he sends out the additional 70, that is, 70 more disciples on top of the 12. He sends them only to Samaria. And we learned in those two things that God is saying to the church, before I can trust you with people truly outside in the world, unknowing, I first must be able to trust you to serve those that you know. Your family, your mother, your father, your spouse, your relatives, your fellow church members. I can't trust you in the streets of Tacoma Park until I can trust you in the pews of Tacoma Park. And we laid that groundwork last Sabbath, and you have to have that if you're going to appreciate today's message. So, in that sermon last week called Practice, we found out that God, first of all, wants to find out, can I be kind to the people right around me that get on my nerves before I can trust you to meet that person outside the church? That was last week. That was last week. Now we're ready for today. Busy. Busy. The second section of Luke chapter 10 presents this well-known parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now please note, nowhere in the Bible in this story is the word good used in terms of the Samaritan. But the Samaritan clearly represents the spirit of the Savior. In another passage, Jesus, answering a question, says that no one should be called good but God. And so if this Samaritan is a symbol of goodness, surely he's a symbol of the ministry of Christ. And the book Desire of Ages makes it clear. It says on page 503, in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus gives a picture of himself and his mission. So the Good Samaritan represents who? Talk to me, represents who? Jesus. That's clear. We don't need to wrestle with that. Now, the story excites Luke because Luke is a Gentile, a non-Jew. And Luke is very thrilled that a non-Jew, particularly a Samaritan, is the hero. This makes Luke feel closer to Christ because now he sees that Christ is not biased. Even a non-Jew can be a symbol of Christ. The story has five players: the broken and beaten man, the priest, the Levite, the innkeeper, wait for him, and the Samaritan. The broken man, the priest, the Levite, the innkeeper, and the Samaritan. These are the five driving characters in the story. Now, there are two parables in the Bible told by Jesus that are famous, the prodigal son and the Good Samaritan. And I think we remember them because they touch the human condition so very well. But I want you to see the Good Samaritan story today in a fresh light. I want you to see how Satan can use the work of the church as a blinder to what really counts. I want you to see the importance today of altruistic service, service that looks for no immediate return, but service that trusts God to restore whatever you sacrifice. See, too many times, folk, when we do for others, we're looking for something in return. But to do for others who can't do anything for you, that's service. What do you say? You'll recall a discussion between Christ and his disciples. It went something like this. Let's read it. Go to Mark 10. Keep your finger in Luke 10, but go to Mark 10. And there's this interesting discussion between Christ and his disciples. Mark 10, starting with verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Peter said, "We've given up a lot." Christ said, don't worry about that. Just do, because doing needs to be done. You see, real service, folks, takes you to another level. I said real service takes you to another level. As one old TV show used to say, real service takes you where no man has gone before. The broken man, the busy priest, the busy Levite, the Samaritan, the innkeeper. Let's talk about the broken man. First of all, he represents this planet. He represents this planet called Earth. We are truly the outcasts of the universe. The broken man represents every unknown, unbelieving person on Earth. He represents people not just broken physically, but folks, some of the worst brokenness in this country, in this world, are people who are broken mentally and emotionally, discouraged and twisted and without hope. He represents people who are broken financially and people who feel separated and disenchanted. Because he is broken and left out on a lonesome road, he represents the fact that God's people are called to leave safety and comfort to reach those dying in sin on the outside of the church's parameters. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, to you, until our ministry in this church is more outside the church than inside the church, we're not doing true Christian service. I'll make it even more blunt. Seventh-day Adventist people spend too much money on each other. And we expect it from the church. We get an attitude of the church doesn't do for us. But ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has supplied the church with great abundance, not for ourselves, but for those who do not have. And this broken man is far outside the reaches of the church. He represents those who cannot ask for help. You have to go to them. He is broken, but God puts people in our way. To help such as these, we have to be willing to expose ourselves to the dangerous situations that they are in. And the question becomes, will we pass them by? Doing service for God is not safe. It's not safe. You'll be placed in dangerous situations. Situations you'd rather not be in, and you have to believe that God is there with you. The broken man. He first is passed by a busy priest. A busy what? Now, the road is run, one that runs from Jericho to Jerusalem. It runs downhill from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a steep road and curvy and often passes by caves and crevices in the surrounding rocks that are ideal places for robbers to hide. The fact that the Bible says that there came down a certain priest suggests that he had been to Jerusalem and was on his way back to Jericho. Now, here's the thing that gets to me. The priest had been involved in religious duties in Jerusalem. Are you listening to me? Perhaps he had taken his turn to serve in the temple according to the dictates of the order that David had established for the priest. He was too busy to stop. Not just too busy with things to do, but too busy considering his own safety and needs and convenience. He has prayed, listen to me, he has prayed at the temple. He has read scripture at the temple. He has worshiped at the temple. What are the first three legs? Come on, prayer, Bible study. He's done all that, Dunbar Henry. He has done the first three. Notice, he's done the first three. God sets him up to do the fourth one. Are you listening to me? God's going to test all this praying and Bible study and worship. He's going to test it over and over again. He's going to plant mess in your path. I don't know how long he had been in Jerusalem. I don't know how much time he had spent in the temple, but he should have been full of the Holy Spirit. See, the proof of what this worship service has done for us today will not be how we act in church. The proof of what this service has done for us today will be how we act after we leave church today. He's been to Jerusalem. He's been joy to the holy city. He's been up there. He's heard singing, Anwar, the choirs. Maybe he was a choir member. He represents the church, Ellen White says, as an official organization, doing all the churchy stuff. But when it comes to the everyday practical, too busy. Too busy. And by the way, when he got to Jericho, there's no indication that he even sent word back to check on the man. I wonder sometimes, Dr. Baker, all these meetings we have in church, all these committees we sit on and chair, and all these conventions we have, I wonder how impressed the Lord is with that. Come on, folk. I wonder if he's just waiting, if they'll just end the meeting, say a benediction, and get busy. But we're too busy being busy being busy. Is anybody listening to me? And then when the real stuff comes, service, sacrifice, then we're too busy. He's rushing. He's been to Jerusalem. He's got to get back. He's got a schedule. He's got a schedule. This talks to me. I'm a scheduled person. I don't like things interfering with my schedule. And the Lord knows that. So he'll stick. There'll be that call that comes just when I'm getting ready to sit down and work on my sermon. Listen to me, folk. Every now and then, God has got to find out, is your schedule, or is your schedule his schedule? There's the busy Levite. He leaves us speechless. We assume that he also was going down, in other words, traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Levites are church bureaucrats, ministry leaders. Nobody said amen. I'll say amen. Some of the Levites were assigned to the choirs, others to teaching in the synagogues. Some were like deacons, Brody. They took care of the structure of the church. The Levites were some of the busiest people in the church, serving on 3, 4, 5 ministries. Levite. These are the people who are more concerned about whether we have chairs on the rostrum than they're concerned about that homeless man who stands outside our church every Sabbath asking for money. These are people who get more worked up about whether we have drums in church than about the drunks outside the church. These are people who, when someone says, "I have no money for rent," they say, "Let's pray," rather than opening their wallet and give the brother some money. They're all about, the Levites are all about process and policy and procedure. They may step across the road and look at the problem, but they really think the broken man should have been more careful and had more sense. The Levite did show some concern. We'll give him credit for that. But he was not going to get dirty. Do you hear me, folk? Have you ever gotten involved in trying to help somebody? And you mean good. But then when you get into the problem, you wish you hadn't? Come on, somebody. Because you realize it's going to take more than you really wanted to give. More time, more money. Come on now. Let's be honest. Have you been there? Yeah. He looked. He said, I'm going to get involved here. I may have to get dirty. I may have to kneel down. I may have to take some stuff out of my suitcase. I just don't think I'm sure he said, I'll call as soon as I get back. Well, you know, he had no phone. But you get the message, don't you? Yeah. He shows some concern. See, Levites are people who from time to time do get involved, but they get so involved in the process of solving a problem, they forget about the people affected by the unsolved problem. It's the difference between somebody who says, "Let's get together and have a meeting," and somebody says, "Let's go out there and get busy." The Levites, they went by. It's at this point that the story introduces the Samaritan. Everything the Samaritan did was Jesus. His willingness to expose himself to danger, Jesus. His putting the man on his own beast, Jesus. He puts the dirty soiled man in his new Volvo back seat. He has no blankets to cover the seats to keep blood from being on the seat, so he just does it. Are you listening to me? He is binding up the man and putting ointment on the wounds, Jesus. Taking the man to the inn, Jesus. Leaving money for the man to be taken care of, Jesus. Promising to return, Jesus. And last but not least, expecting the innkeeper to spend more money than he left, Jesus. Expecting the innkeeper to spend more money than he left, Jesus. So that leads us to our final player. The innkeeper. In my thinking, he's the most important person in the story. The priest is the church at large, the Levite, the functionaries of the church. But the innkeeper to me, Cheryl Brody, represents every believer who's just trying to make a living. The The innkeeper is everyone who awakens on Monday and takes the shower and brushes the teeth and has a bit of worship, fixes breakfast, maybe makes a lunch, then hits the crazy beltway, hoping the commute will not be congested by rain or snow or some accident. Just folks like us, the innkeeper. He has a business. His business in this sermon represents all of our pursuits of life. He has a good corner. Maybe his hotel motel is at an intersection just outside Jericho where the caravans pass and intersect, going east, west, and north and south. He has a mortgage on his property. He's trying to pay that. He has invested in good carpet and nice, comfortable beds. The attached restaurant is known for its fine cuisine. He has employees, housekeeping, and desk people in the lobby, and maintenance, and yard care, and cooks, and waiters. Taxes must be paid. He has some kids in school, maybe one in college. The last thing in the world the innkeeper needs is Jesus putting a problem in his lap. Are you listening to me? See, most of you, if I asked you, you have any problems? I said, yeah. If I asked you, do you need any more problems? No, I don't need any more problems, Pastor. Got enough. See, I don't know about you. See, this is what I've wrestled with Jesus all my life. I think I have enough to do. Is anybody with me? Come on, if you think you have enough to do, raise your hand. I got enough to do. I don't need any more to do. Lord, I don't need any more to do. And then the phone rings. Can anybody relate to this sermon? The innkeeper, Jeff, has got enough on his plate. There are bills to be paid. There are clients to be served. There are things to be done. Do not bring me some dirty, bloody man. I don't need that. My kids are acting up. Marriage is on the rocks. Refrigerator just went out. Huh? You listen to me? Jesus, don't bring me any problems. How many of you have noticed in your life when things kind of start going bad, things just keep on going badder? Huh? Huh? You might know what I'm talking about? And so I don't know whether Jesus, I don't know whether the Samaritan arrived in the morning or the evening. What I know is this. I believe that the innkeeper was not happy to see him. But look at the lessons. Now, first of all, I want you to note something in the story that you may have missed in reading it. As I read the context, I'm convinced that the Samaritan and this innkeeper had a prior relationship. The story suggests that because the Samaritan was comfortable going there. See, I want you to see yourself. Many of us have this, we have a relationship with Jesus. And we've been busy for him in the past. Listen to me. Listen to me. But no matter what your relationship with Jesus is, he's always going to take you to the next level. And I believe in this situation, the Samaritan brought the innkeeper a problem unlike any he had brought before. Some of us are always putting limits on what God can ask of us. Let me be honest. Can I speak frankly to you? Folk, when I left CPC, I left there at 72 years old. I ain't looking for no other church to pastor. I'm gonna be real with you today. Me and the president have worked out a situation for me to train young pastors. Hear me! I don't preach sermons to you. I preach to me. I don't need, Mr. President, any other issues. Brother Wright, would you consider? Elder, we've already discussed it. I'm going to train young pastors. Would you pray about it? See, Bill Miller right now is a Samaritan. Would you pray about it? Do I need to take this further? And yet, I have found what I think the innkeeper found. Joy, satisfaction. I mean, I'm enjoying you all to the highest. But this was not a part of my prayer 6 months ago. I'm going to be frank. I wasn't praying for y'all. To be honest with you. You weren't in my prayers. What I'm saying to you, folk, God does not think like we think. He does not measure like we measure. And just when you think you've had enough, he drops more. Somebody say amen out there. Now, what I find interesting, I had missed this in studying the story before. Look at verse 34 of Luke 10. Look at verse 34. Let me get back to Luke 10. I'm still over there in Mark. I noticed something. I had not picked this up before. Verse 34. At least I had not really read it. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn and took care of him. At first, the Samaritan takes care of the man. We got to deal with that. In every act of salvation, there is God's part and then our part. See, it's the initial medical help to a person that saves their life. Would you agree with that? See, we don't save lives. Jesus does that. We do the finished up work. Are you following the story? So Jesus takes care of him first himself. This stuff Jesus does, we can't do. But then the next morning, Jesus makes this important statement. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Now, how many of y'all know that ain't much money? Even in that day. 2 pence. Gave them to the host. That's pretty bold. Said to him, take care of him with the 2 pence. But no, he wasn't saying that. Look at the rest of it. And whatsoever thou spendest more. Note the wording. He didn't say, if you spend more. Can somebody squeeze out an amen? Yeah, he didn't say, if. Whatsoever you spend. Now, I don't know how long 2 pence can last. I don't know what 2 pence can cover. But let's picture it. First of all, this broken man had his own room in the motel. I'd put him in a private room. Huh? Did the bed have to be changed every day? Come on, y'all. Stay awake a little bit longer. Yeah, had to be changed. Medical supplies. At least 2 meals a day. Now, he's an innkeeper, y'all. This stuff costs money. Maybe in the midst of the recovery, the man had a setback. He's got to call in the doctor. The Samaritan knew the money he left was not enough. And then the story shifts to the part that gets me excited. I'm trying to be calm. He says, when I come again. Immediately, I realized that the Good Samaritan story is eschatological. I'm sorry for now because I'm enjoying my own sermon now. It's an end! It's an end time sermon. It's the church in the last days. The innkeeper situation is the last days. In the last days before Jesus comes, God will ask the church to spend more than we ever had in mind. Time, talent, treasure. And the thing that is so beautiful about the story, the Samaritan does not say, I'll be back next week. Huh? Is anybody listening to me? This story is powerful. It speaks to the church in the last days. I'm going to dump on the church problem after problem after problem. It'll be beyond your resources. You will not see the answer in your budget, but you'll see the answer in your heart. I'm going to drop mess on you and pressure on you and challenges on you, and you have to sacrifice. And I do not know yet when I'm coming back. Only the Father knows that. But you keep spending till I get back. I believe that at some point when the guy first left, when the innkeeper first left this broken man there, I believe in the first days, innkeeper was very meticulous. Bandages, salve. Oh, he kept books. It's the innkeeper, y'all. And salve, meals. Oh, he kept books. Kept books. Day went by. Kept week goes by, Warfield. 2 months goes by. And finally he's saying, what am I keeping these books for? Listen to the next sentence. The Samaritan waited and waited to come back until the problem became a person. Church is about people. The Samaritan waited until the innkeeper wasn't sure he'd ever get paid back. Let me be blunt. As long as you're serving the Lord just to get to heaven, you ain't serving the Lord. But when you're serving the Lord because you want to do what Jesus did, then you're serving the Lord. Waited, and he waited. And I picture Dr. Deshaies it moving from the man being a problem to the innkeeper sometimes sitting with him, and they eat lunch together. And they start sharing about each other's lives. And the innkeeper finds out this broken man was a real person with a real life, with a real past, maybe with a family. They become something more than just a problem to one another. They become brothers in Christ. Thank God. The Samaritan did say, whatever you spend more, I will repay. I wish you read Greek, because the word repay is not the word. It's I will cover you. Folk, I don't know about you, I need more than repayment. Hey! I need Jesus to cover me. I need more than dollar for dollar, dime for dime, penny for penny. I need Christ to cover all I am and all I've been, because I'm worse than the broken man. If I could just stop being so confounded busy. Busy with me. Busy about me. Busy on me. And so the Master who loves me will not give up. He keeps sending the problems. He keeps sending the problems until Henry Wright comes out of himself. Becomes a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing today? Are you willing today to trust God to mess with your life with designed problems until you become what he wants you to be? You're going to have to trust him, because I guarantee you, whatever problems he has in mind to test you with are bigger than you'd ever pray for. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Father God, we have heard your voice today. We have heard your voice today. Clean the priest and the Levite and the innkeeper out of me. Help me to be your servant. My good friend this morning, if that's your friend, if that's your desire, just raise your hand with mine, because we need help. This is a sermon hard to live. Hard to live. Thank you, Jesus. And the people said, amen. Amen.